All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Tes 39. We are picking up on Lamed Ches Amud Beis 38b. We're picking up at the two dots we learned over the bottom. Hechidoyim Machov. So we'll say, remember again, we've been discussing extensively the laws of Machov. We've been discussing extensively the idea, or that I should say, the discussion about raising objections. So now the Gemara is going to ask, well, what exactly or how is a proper machol, a proper objection phrased? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zavid. So Rav Zavid says the following. So we'll say, let's say somebody's living on my land. And I say, Reuven's living on my land. I say, Planyo gazamuhu. I say, Reuven's a thief. So the halacha is, Lo havi machol. I will say, that is not a machol, that is not a proper objection. However, on the other hand, if I say, Planya Gazal, so why not, I will say? So take a look at the Rashbam, second to last line in the Rashbam. So Rashbam says, Amr lo Planya Gazal, the Ka'achal Arab Gazlanusa. Shahari, I'm sorry, no, that's the wrong God. Look at the previous Rashbam, Amr Rav Zavid. Amr lo Sahade, Planya Gazal, if I say to witnesses, Reuven is a thief, lo havi machol, that is not a proper objection. Shafilu im yomru idim loshon zelamachsik lo asilas duhure bishtari. Because we'll say, what's the issue? The issue over here is the following. Is that lamaisa, in that case where I say Reuven is a thief, I have just made a statement. I have not accused Reuven. I've said Reuven is a thief. What does that mean? I haven't claimed the land as my own. I have not lodged a formal complaint. I'm making a statement that appears to be an attack on Reuven. But lav dafka, I'm claiming the ownership for myself. On the other hand, back to the Gemara. If I say planya gazanuhu, dinakit la la'ara ay bagazlanusa. But if I say, listen, Reuven is a thief because he took my land. Right, he's a thief. I'm not just calling him a ganav. I will say, people call each other ganavim all the time. Right, so the idea, I'm not just calling him a ganav. What I'm saying over here is he's a ganav because he took my land. He took my land, and not only that, top of lamates, ulamachar tavana le bidina. And tomorrow, I'm going to sue him. Tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and take him to Beis Din. Then what? I will say, have your macha. Then ultimately, again, this is considered to be a proper macha. Now, I will say, I'll just say something interesting. If you look in the Rashbam for just a moment, the Rashbam says it's the last Rashbam. It begins on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So remember, the Gemara seems to say that there are two parts to a proper macha. Part number one is, I say, Reuven, you are a thief. Part number two is, and tomorrow I'm going to go ahead and take you to Beis Din. So the Rashbam has an interesting machlokes here about whether or not that second statement is necessary. Meaning, let's say I didn't say I'm going to take you to Beis Din. Let's say I just say, Reuven, you are a thief because you are occupying my land. But I never make the threat to carry through on legal action. Is that a proper machol or not? So this seems to be machlokes. If you look in the Rashbam very quickly, he says, Tapov lamates, ve'ilo amr lamachar tavana lebedina, umafkin lamine, ela ploni gazlan de ka'achala arai begazlanusa bilvad, harayu kino sein pegan bechavero, velo kimos ve'edus ve'ena machos, kim perish Rabbeinu Chananel. So we'll say, the first thing that the Rashbam quotes is Rabbeinu Chananel, and Rabbeinu Chananel's opinion is that lamaisa, Rabbeinu Chananel's opinion is that Lamaisa, you only go ahead and it is only a valid machah if you threaten legal action. If you do not go ahead and bring up the possibility of legal action, then that is not a proper objection. Lishna achrina shamati mishmos Rabbi Yaakov bar Yakar ve'ikar planya gazanu va'afilo hiska akalker zesh machzik lav machahi shaylo micha machmas atzmo varu kemish ara ploni machzik b'kakos shalacherim l'pogam muskabim v'la ar shayin enu maskir shalom aval imperish t'kakha la'arab because l'nusa hari micha machmas atzmo v'hodiya shakarker shalom machzik ba'ola v'havi machah v'afilav b'losi. So we'll say, Sefer Rashbam says, Machlok is a team, Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yakar, as to whether or not a proper macha requires the threat of legal action or not. Rabbeinu Chananel says, yes, you can't, it's meaning in part number one is you have to say the guy stole from me, and part number two is you have to be ready to take legal action, whereas Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yakar says, no, all you need to do is claim that the land was stolen from you. That's proper macha. You need not threaten legal action. Okay, we'll see what we do halacha l'maaseh in just a little bit. So the Gemara goes weiter. Lamates amud aleph, a little bit weiter. So says the Gemara, Amar lo semrule mai. So let's listen to this case. Let's say I make the macha in front of two witnesses. And what happens? I say to the witnesses, do me a favor, don't repeat this to Reuven. Okay? Don't repeat this to Reuven. So the Gemara says, so is that a proper macha? So I make a macha. Reuven is illegally occupying my land that I own. But do me a favor, don't say anything to Reuven. Says the Gemara, my, what's taloch? Is that a proper macha? Amar Rav Zvid, haka amar lo similar. Rav Zvid said, of course, that is not a proper macha. Why? Because mostly the point of macha is what? Is to make your objection known to the person who's currently occupying the land. So if you tell the witnesses not to say anything, then the boss said that is not a macha. Rav Papa amar lididei lo semrule, lachrini emrula. So emrulahu. So boss said, Rav Papa says, no, it is a good macha. Because what am I saying to the witnesses? I'm saying, listen, don't go out and say anything to Reuven, but if you want, what? You could definitely share this with others. And therefore, because you're going to share this with others, therefore, what? Chaverach chavra islay, chavra de chavrach chavra islay. Your friend has a friend, and the friend of your friend has a friend. Everybody's got friends, Baruch Hashem, and therefore, what? And therefore, word will get out. Amar Rav Zvid. So says the Gemara. Next case, Shabbosai. Amrulei. Lo aminale. So amrulei lo aminale. So let's say again. I lodge a macha. I make my objection known in front of the witnesses. And the witnesses say, amrulei. Amrulei lo aminale. And the witnesses say, we're not going to say anything to Reuven. So we'll say, is this a proper macha or not? Amar Rav Zvid. Haka amrulei. Lo amrulei. So Rav Zvid said, of course not. Because if the witnesses are already saying, we're not going to share this with Reuven, then what's Rav Osai? This is no longer a proper macha. Rav Papa Amar Lididei Lo Amrilei La'achrinei Amrilei. So Amrilehu. So I'll say, Papa says, yes, it's a fine macha. Why? Because what are the witnesses saying? We're not going to say anything to Reuven. But we're going to say something potentially to other people. And therefore what? Chavrach, chavra islay, v'chavra, v'chavrach, chavra islay. So I'll say, Rav Papa says, here's the klal gadol. As long as they're going to talk to someone, we're confident that what? That word is going to get back to Reuven. Why? Because people like to talk. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Amar lehu, lo seifuk lehu shusa. Well, so listen to this. Let's say I lodge my macha. I say Reuven is a thief. He stole my land from me, and he is illegally living on my land. And what? And I say to the witnesses, Amar lehu, lo seifuk lehu shusa. Do not let one word about this pass through your lips. Right? In other words, I tell them, I need you to be absolutely silent. I will say, now that type of statement almost sounds like what? I'm telling you not to say anything to anyone. To anyone. Amar Rav Zvid, haka amar, lo seifuk lehu shusa. Rav Zvid says, listen, that is obviously not going to be a good macha, because here I'm making it explicitly clear that I don't want them saying anything to anyone. So of course I will say, if I tie their hands and they can't speak to anyone, so in Lamais, again, of course, there is not going to be any kind of proper macha. On the other hand, Amrulei, lo mafkinon shusa, if they say to him, which is actually quite fascinating, if they say to him, we will not say a word, in other words, we will not let a word about this pass our lips, Amar Papa, haka amrulei, lo mafkinon shusa. So Rav Papa says, they say, obviously it's not a good macha. Why, Rabbi? So because if they say, we're not going to say a word, then Lamaisa again, there's no macha that gets out. Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yoshua Amar, Rav Huna, b'reid Yoshua says no. We'll say, when the witnesses say, we're not going to say a word, that is still a good macha. Why? Because, kol milsa delo ramya alei de'inish, Amar lei v'lav adaite. This is actually a very profound statement. Because Rav Huna, b'reid Rav Yoshua says, anything for which a person is not bound to keep it confidential, they will not keep it confidential. In other words, that the klal gadol is, unless, of course, I'm sworn to keep something secret, at some point in time, I will reveal it. At some point in time, I will make the information known, and therefore, confident the macha will get out. Fine. So, what's the Sidi Mar goes weiter. Amarav Nachman, macha shlo b'fanav, have your macha. So, what's, remember again, going back a little bit. So, first of all, let me just tell you an interesting piece of halacha. So, first of all, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is, this is in Choshen Mishpat. We're doing everything is in Siman Kuf Mem Vav today. See from Gimel Dalet Hey. So, in terms of the actual lashon, the proper wording of a macha. So, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Ketzad lashon hamacha. What's the proper lashon for an objection? Omer bifnei shnayim. Ploni shumishtamish bechatseri o besadi, gazlanhu, ula asid ani tovea oso bedin. So we'll say, so the Shulchan Aruch says that the proper lashon of a macha has two parts. Number one, a claim of ownership, right? Number one, that ultimately, again, I'm saying, Number one, I'm saying that halacha lemaisa again, Reuven is living on my land. Reuven is living on, he stole my land. And it's, as I'm making two claims. Claim number one is that the land is mine. Claim number two is that the land is stolen. Those are the two statements, Rabosai. And there are three statements. Number one, the land is mine. Number two, the land is stolen. And number three, I'm going to take him to Beis Din. So Rabosai, the Mechaber says, therefore you need all three to lodge a proper complaint. The Ramah comes along and says, Yish Omrim, She'ino Tzarech Lomer Atava Oso Badin. So Rabosai, interestingly enough, the Ramah paskins like Rav Yaakov ben Yakar in the Rashbam, which is that you need not lodge that, you need not say I'm going to take him to Beis Din. It's enough to simply claim the land is mine and it was stolen. Even if you don't go ahead and lodge the claim that you're going to go ahead and go to Beis Din, that is enough. Fine. So let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Macho Shlo Befan of Havye Macho. So we'll say, Rav is the name of Rav Nachman, that the Bosa, even an objection not made in the presence of the person who is currently occupying the land is a proper macha. So we already spoke about this yesterday, that the macha, the objection, need not be lodged in the presence of the person who is currently occupying the land. Esve Rav Nachman. So Rav raised the kasha to Rav Nachman. Amr lo Rav Yehuda lo amru shalosh shanim ela kedei shiye baspamya. So let's remember again, going back to the Mishnah. What did Rav Yehuda say? Rav Yehuda said, why do you need 3 years of Osei for Chazaka? Why do you need 3 years of chazaka? So Rabbi Yehuda said, because in the event that the landowner is living in Aspania in Spain, so what? V'yachzik shana, v'yelchu, v'yodiyu shana, v'yavol shana acher. So we'll say, why do you need 3 years, says Rabbi Yehuda, for chazaka? Because let's say I'm in Spain. My land is in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, what happens? It turns out that someone else is living on my land for a year. It gives people the opportunity, or witnesses the opportunity, to go travel to me in Spain, allow me to lodge my macha, and what? Gives them a year to be able to get back and formally lodge the macha on my behalf in the presence of the person who is currently living on the land. To which the Gemara said, but 1 second. These saka daitcha, macha shalom b'fan of havi macha, lama li lemesi, leisav hasam adduchte b'limche. Rabbi said, if we paskin that macha shalom b'fan of is a proper macha, that you don't need to be in the presence of the person living on the land in order to lodge an objection, then what? Then why do I have to go through the process of the witnesses traveling to Aspania, coming back from Aspania? Let me just lodge the claim in Aspania, and that is a proper macha. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. That is a proper macha. Why do I need this whole thing? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Hasam Eitza Tova Kamash Volon. But I'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara suggests that is correct. You actually do not technically need to travel back from Aspania to Eretz Yisrael to lodge the macha. The macha will be valid even if lodged overseas. But rather what the Gemara is doing is, it's an Eitza Tova. Gemara is giving you good advice. What's the good advice, Rabosai? That if somebody is illegally occupying your land, it's a good idea to get back home and resolve this situation. In order that you could be able to collect your land, as well as any back payros. Because I'm going to say, if it turns out that someone was illegally squatting on my land, then not only am I entitled to go ahead and reclaim my land, but I'm also entitled to what? To reclaim any payros that were consumed during that time. So therefore, the Gemara is teaching me, as an Eitza Tova, the Eitza Tova is come back home, the Eitza Tova is get back home and take care of business. In other words, that at the end of the day, if your interests are not secure, it's a good idea to come back and take care of that yourself and not necessarily to rely on others. Halachically, do you have to do that? No. Halachically, you have the ability to go to lodge your macha even overseas, but just from almost like a business perspective, the Gemara suggests it's a good idea to come back home and to deal with this. To which the Gemara says, Mi dekamosiv le Rav Nachman. So I said, the fact that Rava raised this kasha on Rav Nachman, Michlal de lo svira le, So the fact that Rava raises kasha on Rav Nachman sounds like that Rava himself does not go ahead and agree to the concept that a macha shalom b'fanav havi macha, that an objection lodged not in the presence of the person living on the land is a proper macha. But is that true? We know what Rava's shita is. V'ha amar Rava, macha shalom b'fanav havi macha. Rav says it's not true, but Rava himself says that even a macha that was not lodged in the presence of the person squatting on the land is a proper macha. To which the Gemara says, you're right, basar deshama merav nachmin savra. To which the Gemara answers, you're right, meaning Rava changed his tune when? After this exchange with Rav Nachman. In other words, we both say, this is the exchange that converted Rava. This is the exchange, this is the back and forth that ultimately led Rava to subscribe to the idea that, Inach Hinami, you're right, Macha Shalom B'Fan Al-Havi Macha, even an objection raised not in the presence of the person squatting on the land is a proper macha. So we'll say, and that is indeed how we paskin halacha l'maisa, that the macha, the objection, need not be raised in the presence of the person who is currently living on the land. Why? Because this entire process is predicated on one basic yisod, which is chavra, chavra islay, the chavra de chavra islay. That we assume that when you say something, word travels. Word travels. By the way, and we assume it to such a point that even when you say to people, don't say something, right? If I say something, don't share it, right? Yeah, even if you tell them, don't say it, then what? I'm almost positive they're going to say it. Now, maybe not to the person I don't want them to say it to, but they're going to say it to someone else. So we are confident in the fact that news spreads. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, again, even a macha shel b'fan av will be a proper macha. Fine, so we'll say now the Gemara enters into another discussion. I'm sorry? Oh, we're going to discuss that. Baruch Shekivant, we're going to discuss that. Right now, the Gemara is making the assumption that a macha is verbal. Now, it would seem that a macha in writing would be even better because that could have a status of a shtar, and a shtar generates an automatic kol. But again, the only reason a shtar generates a kol is because of the signatures of witnesses. So we're going to see the shaila is if you have like a signed macha, a notarized macha, we're going to discuss. Says the Gemara, Ashkechinu Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina, Talmid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina found the students of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, Amar lehu, mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan machal b'kama? And he asked them, did Rabbi Yochanan ever discuss how many people do you need for a valid machal? In other words, I own land, and Reuven's squatting on my land. He's illegally living on my land, and I want to lodge a formal machal. Because ultimately, again, I don't want him to be able to establish chazaka. In front of how many people do I have to make that macha? So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina finds the students of Rabbi Yochanan and says, did your Rabbi Yochanan ever discuss how many people are necessary for a proper macha? So says Rabbi Chibar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, macha b'fnei shnayim. So we'll say, so the first of you, Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Chibar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you need two people. Right, two people. Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Yochanan, Macha b'fnei shlosha. So we'll say there's machlokes about the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So one opinion said Rabbi Yochanan holds that you need two people. Second opinion holds Rabbi Yochanan holds that what? That you need three people. To which the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? Lema b'deraba bar Rav Huna kamifligi. Maybe they're arguing about the shita of Rav bar Rav Huna. Because what does Rav bar Rav Huna say? Dom Rav bar Rav Huna. We'll say it's actually fascinating. Kol milsa demis amra ba'apet lasa. We'll say anything that has already been said in front of three people, Amud Beis, less be mishum lishna bisha. We'll say is no longer considered lashon hara. It's a very interesting halacha. Anything that has already been said in the presence of three people no longer has the status of lashon hara. Now go back to Amud Aleph for just a moment, and let's just take a look at the last Rashbam on that page. Kol milsa shel gnai. Any disparaging piece of information that has already been said in front of three people. Look at the last Rashbam Alamet Hes Amud Aleph. He says, "Im yachsiru v'yomru lazeh, kach amar ploni alecha." So we'll say, so for example, what the Gemara is discussing over here is, remember, when it comes to the world of Lashon Hara, so there are two general concepts that we understand, the concept of Lashon Hara and the concept of Rechilos. So Rechilos is, I go to Reuven and I say, Reuven, you know Shimon told me the following about you. Or you know what Shimon is saying about you. That's called rechilos, where you go ahead and you literally spread gossip. You tell people about they're being talked about. Lashon hara, on the other hand, is just any general disparaging piece of information, whether it's disparaging about the person whom you're telling or just generally disparaging. So Idris of Rabbi Rav Huna says that any piece of damaging information that has already been shared in the presence of three people is out. meaning it's known. And once it's known, it's no longer subject to the laws of Lashon Hara. Im yachzirv, I'm reading the Rashbam, im yachzirv yomru lazeh, kach amar ploni alecha, v'tayim v'kidim mefarish pe'erchin, b'yesh erchin, my time achavroch dechavra islay. V'amar abaye, hasam kol milsa da'avida l'geluye, les b'mishom lishna bisha. V'ilch, Shabbosai, so the idea over here is, once you've said something in front of three people, that's a public, right? That's a public... That is a public sharing already. Therefore, again, we assume that it's known to the general populace. And once it's known to the general populace, again, there's no technical prohibition of Lashon Hara. And I want to be clear, meaning again, don't do it. Don't do it because people who slander, people who talk negatively, it's a general pegam and midos, even if it doesn't status, even if it's not technical Lashon Hara. But the Gemara is asking, on a technical level, once it's been said already in front of three people, it's a matter of public knowledge. Once it's a matter of public knowledge, it's no longer subject to the laws of Lashon Hara. Now, why is this important for us? Vahilchach gabi macha, nami milsa da'abida legaluye ba'inan, kedei sheizar ha'machzik bishtaro, ulahachi pligi, mandar bifnei shnayim, lest nai di rabba barav huna, di bait la sadafi lu betray avida legaluye, v'havi macha bifnei shnayim, amad beis, ule inyan Lashon Hara, lest nai rishon lishnabi, so Shabbos say, now watch this. So says Dima the following. Therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe the machlokes in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, do you need two or do you need three for macha, hinges on the statement of Rabbi Barav Huna. Because Rabbi Barav Huna says, anything that is said in front of a group of three people is public knowledge. So therefore, we'll say, the second opinion who says, let's work backwards, who says that you need three for macha, says why? Because just like three makes Lashon Hara public knowledge, what's the goal over here? To make the macha public knowledge. Because again, that ensures that the person who's squatting on the land will hear about the macha. How do you make a macha public knowledge? Say it in front of three. On the other hand, top of Lamates on the base. On the other hand, Man Damar Bifnei Shnayim, less late Dirah Barafuna. So you'll have to say, everyone will say that's what? That the one who says, Man Damar Bifnei Shnayim, less late Dirah Barafuna, the one who says that you need two, does not subscribe to the idea of Rah Barafuna. On the other hand, Man Damar Bifnei Gimel, Islay Dirah Barafuna, but the one who says you need three, does subscribe to the Shita of Rah Barafuna. Look at the Rashbam once more. Man Damar Bifnei Beis. Man Damar Bifnei Beis. He said, "Gibifnei Gimel Islay Drab Barafuna, the Gimel Havi Giluye Milsa, Velo Betray, Behilchach Bifnei Beis La Havi Macha, to Avid La Giluye." So let's listen to this. The fundamental machlokas seems to be is the following: at what point in time does something become public knowledge? So we'll say, so this is a machlokas. Rabbi Barafuna happens to say in Hilchos Lashon Hara that something becomes public knowledge when said in front of a group of three. Therefore, one opinion holds of Rabbi Barafuna, and therefore says, in order for macha to become public knowledge, what do you need? You need to make the macha in front of who? In front of a group of three. And the second opinion says, no, something could become public knowledge even in front of two people. And therefore, he rejects the view of Rabbi Barafuna. Fine. That's the first interpretation. To which the Gemara says, lo, no, okay, easy come, easy go. Lo, not true. Not true. Bro said, Lamed Tes Navi 39b, three lines in, middle of the line. Dechuli Alma, Isluhu Dura Barafuna. I will say, everyone agrees with Ra Barafuna. Because Ra Barafuna was a statement made in the context of Hilchos Lashon Hara. So everyone agrees, I will say, that in the laws of Hilchos, that in Hilchos Lashon Hara, once something has been said in front of three people, then Halacha L'maisa, again, it is considered to be public knowledge. Once it's public knowledge, it is no longer considered to be Lashon Hara. Aye, so what is the machlokes over here, Bosai? So what are they arguing about? To which the Gemara says, so here's what they're arguing about. Mandar Bifnei Shnayim, the one who says, Bosai, that a macha has to be made in front of two people. Kasavar macha shalo befanov, lo havi macha. Bosai is interesting. He will hold that a macha must be made in the presence of the person who is currently residing on the land. So because the macha must be made in the presence of the person residing on the land, therefore what? Therefore, I don't need the edim, so to speak, to be the one to disseminate the information about the macha. In other words, I don't need the group who are witnessing the macha to be considered a public. Why? Because the macha has to be made in the presence of the person currently occupying the land. So really, all I need is what? What do I need on the macha? What do I need? I need edus. I need eidos. I don't need publicity. I need eidos. Why don't I need publicity? Because the macha itself has to be made in the presence of the person squatting the land. That's why it's squatting on the land. And therefore, again, lemaisa, all I need is eidos on the macha. Eidos is accomplished with two people. Umadar b'fnei gimel. But both of the opinion who holds that no, you require three people, holds that what? Kasavar macha shlobafan of havi macha. He will hold the macha, Rabbi Osai, can be made not in the presence of the person squatting on the land. And therefore, what Rabbi Osai, because of that, I need an element of publicity. Because of the element of publicity, publicity is only generated by what? Or by who? By a group of three or more. So we'll say that's the second interpretation of the Machlokes. According to this interpretation, everyone will agree with Rav Bar Abuna, namely, that in Hilchos Lashon Hara, once something is known by a group of three or more, it is public information, and therefore the sharing of that information is no longer Lashon Hara. But the Machlokes over here is, do we require a Macha Befanav or Shalom Befanav? If you hold that a Macha has to be Befanav, then all I need is two, because I just need witnesses to it. It's the Macha. If on the other hand you hold Macha Shalom Befanav and Macha, that you can even lodge the Macha, not in the presence of the person living on the land, then what? Then I need a significant enough group that essentially is capable of being a PR machine. I'll say, right, of being a publicity machine. What's the minimum size group that is capable of churning out the publicity for this Macha? Is going to be three. Another interpretation, Ibai Seima, the Choli Alma, Macha Shelo Befanav, have you Macha? Most of the other possibility is no. Everyone agrees that what? A Macha Shelo Befanav. Ultimately, again, I will say that making a Macha not in the presence of the person who's squatting on the land is a proper Macha. If that's the case, what's the machlok? Because we should both say, which is the halacha that we pretty much established before. But okay, so what are they arguing about? Here, they are arguing about the following. Mandamar bifnei beis, savar sahadusa ba'ingan. So we'll say, the one who says that you need two witnesses holds that you need testimony, right? Meaning you need witnesses to actually witness the macha. Mandamar bifnei gimel kasavar giloi milsa ba'ingan. Whereas the mandamar bifnei holds that you need three, says that what? It's not testimony you need, rather what? It's publicity you need. Now take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam is in the wider lines, not the widest lines, but the wider lines, about five lines in. Last word on the line is V'hacha. V'hacha b'akum eflegi mandamar b'fnei shnayim kasar v'sadu sabayinan. So we'll say, if you hold that the goal over here of the people witnessing the macha is testimony, I need them to be witnesses. Therefore, v'day lo b'shnei edim she'yaidu shemicha zu b'soch gimel. Therefore, we'll say, if all I need is testimony, I just need two people who are going to testify to the fact that what? That Silber, the owner of the land, lodged his complaint about Reuven living on the land. V'im yavo ha'davar li'aznav, yavo. I'm confident, remember, in this iteration of the Machlokes, so we're assuming that Macha Shalom Befanav Havi Macha. Now what's the logic of Macha Shalom Befanav Havi Macha? What's that logic? That even if the objection is not lodged in the presence of the person squatting on the land, that the objection is still valid, because we assume word travels. We assume that word will get out. So we'll say, in this iteration, therefore, I know that word will get out. So therefore, the first one will say, all they need is eidos over here. And once there's eidos, I am confident that what? That word is going to reach the person who's currently living on the land. That's the svar for the opinion who holds that you only need two. What about the sar for the opinion who holds you need three? Gilui milsa, next Rashbam, gilui milsa ba'inon, sheyeda kala olam, decheivan de no de legimo, kilu no de kvar lemachsek dami, de mistamu yada b'machazu, hava b'shnai mistamu yada. So we'll say, so bottom line, the Gemara is suggesting over here is even if you hold that everybody agrees with macha, shalom b'fana havi macha, the shayla is, what is the purpose of the group who is witnessing the macha? Is the purpose to be eidos? If the purpose is eidos, then what? All I need is two. Or is the purpose gilui milsa? I need a publicity machine, something that's going to publicize the fact that this macha occurred. And the minimum unit for a publicity machine is three people. Okay, so this is still the ongoing machlokes. You see that halacha l'maaseh in just a little bit. Next, not next, but a story. Gidol bar min yumi, havile mechiyu asa lemchuye. So we'll say gidul bar min yumi had a macha that he wanted to raise. So we'll say somebody was he owned land. Somebody was living on his land. He wanted to go ahead and lodge a formal macha. So what happened? Ashkechinu l'rafuna ulechia barav ulrab chilkia bartuvi. Davu Yasri. So we'll say he found these three rabbanim, Rafuna, Rechia Barav, and Rechilkia, who are all sitting together, Umacha Kamayu. And he makes a macha in front of them. We'll say, now just point out over here, how many people is he making the macha in front of? Three. Now I just want to point out, this is not a raya one way or the other. Why is it not a raya? Because they just happen to be together. In other words, we'll say, remember, he's not assembling them. Loved after their basin, they're just sitting together. Right? They were sitting together, so he happens to find three people sitting together, makes the macha. Just want to point out, you're going to see the Gemara is not bringing this story as a raya that you need three, because the fact that three happen to be together is just a matter of fact of the story. Now here's the chav. Here's what's interesting about this case. L'shana hadar asalam chuye. The next year, Gidel bar Minyumi shows up again to lodge another macha. So year number two, he shows up again to once again lodge a second macha in year number two. Amrulay, they said to him, Lo tzrichas, you know, by the way, you don't have to go ahead and come again. Now look at the Rashbam for just a moment. L'shana acheres asabo say, and now in the widest lines, third wide line, L'shana acheres asapam shnia, umicha kamayos. So Gidel bar Minyumi now shows up in year two and objects to the residency of the squatter again in year number two. So listen to this. Gidel bar Minyumi was under the impression that you have to make a macha every single year. Every year you have to make a macha. And if you miss making a macha any one of those years, then what? Then ultimately, again, that gives the squatter the ability to establish a chazaka. So Gidel bar Minyumi shows up, and they say to him, L'tzrichas, you know, by the way, that you don't have to go ahead and, you don't have to go ahead and lodge a second macha. But look at the Gemara for just one moment. Hachi amarav, kevan shemicha shana rishona, shuv eina tzarech limchos. Because after all, Rav said, once you go ahead and you lodge your objection in year number one, you no longer have to go ahead and lodge any subsequent objections. Now look at the Rashbam once more. L'tzrichas, limchas kol shana v'shana, about pam achas miyot tzarech limchos b'chol gimel v'gimel k'le kamon, shlo yehe gimel shana mertzufim b'lo macha. U'miyu inhu lo ari ba'aki midi, el l'mu'uti gimel chas. Listen to this. So therefore they said to Gidel bar Minyumi, thank you for coming, but you know that you do not have to lodge another macha every year. Once you make one macha in 3 years, then what? That is enough to prevent the squatter from establishing chazaka on the land. Vikadar Rav said this. Others have an alternate version of this. Vikadar Amri Le Chia Barav. Others, Rav Osei, say that ultimately, again, it wasn't Rav, but rather it was Chia Barav who said, Kevan Shemicha Shan Rishona Shuv Eino Tzarech Limchos. So we'll say, so just a different, a machlokis in attribution. But bottom line being the same thing, which is what? Which is that halacha l'maisa, again, a macha only needs to be made once every 3 years. Ama Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kafra. So we'll say, Reish Lakish the name Bar Kafra. V'tzarech Limchos, Resolve called Gimel V'Gimel. Oh, I will say, there is one qualification to this, which is that one has to go ahead and make a macha once every 3 years. So I was about to say, let's say again, I have someone squatting on my land for an extended period of time. I will say, by the way, it just could be, I don't care. Meaning, I'm not using this land right now. So the truth is, for me, it doesn't actually make a difference if someone else is squatting on it. And by the way, one could frame a case in such a way where it could actually even be beneficial. Like someone's working my land, I didn't plan on working it anyway, I'm happy for the land to be cultivated, for not to be fallow, whatever the mitzvah is, it doesn't matter the why, it just matters the what. And the what is, someone's living on my land. So what do we just establish, Abu Sayyid? You only have to make a macha how often? Once every 3 years. But not the Gemara suggests, Abu Sayyid, is that what? Let's say I own land, Ruvain's squatting on it 3 years, right? So I make a macha in year number two, Shalom al Yisrael. Then what happens? Rolls around year number four. So what's the halacha we'll say? Once I get into the second unit of 3 years, another macha must be lodged. In other words, it's one macha per unit of 3 years. So even though I don't have to come every year, but I do have to come once every 3 years. Meaning once every 3 year cycle, I have to lodge a machol. So says the Gemara. Besof kol gimel v'gimel. So let's take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Amar Eish Lakish. It's about seven lines in, and the large, in the widest lines of the Rashbam. Amar Eish Lakish. Mishum bar kafra v'tzarech limchos besof kol gimel v'gimel. Ta'af agav v'mishem micha shana v'shana shuvin tzarech limchos. Even though we said about that once you made a macha in year number one, you don't have to make a macha in the subsequent years. Hani mili bano gimel. That's only true what? In that unit of 3 years. Aval b'sof gimel, I will say, once you leave that unit of 3 years and you now enter into a second unit of 3 years, tzarech limchos, then you do have to lodge another objection. Tzarech limchos adayim, delo nehavi tlas shnin b'lo macha. In order to prevent someone else from making a chazaka, what do you need to do? You need to disrupt that 3 year dwelling with the macha. That's the idea. So every single 3 year unit, you have to make sure that there is never a period of time, what we'll call of 3 years of uninterrupted use of that land. Because the problem is, if there are 3 years of uninterrupted use, then what? Then lemaisa, again, that becomes chazaka. And I will say, and you say to yourself, well, 1 second, if I make a macha in year number one, so then he lives there what? Years number two, three, and four. Isn't that 3 years of uninterrupted use enough? So remember again, we look at it in units of three. So the idea is, once you interrupt the unit one, you're good. Even if you say nothing in years two and three. But once year four comes along, that restarts a new unit of three, four, five, and six. And sometime during that period of time, you must make a macha. You must make a macha. So he says again, Ditlash shanin mizdar in shebishtari, achra macha. So fine, so let's go back. So let's go back to the Gemara. So Tai Barab Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that is such a strange statement. V'chi gazlan yesh lo chazaka. Then I will say, so he says, because does a thief have a chazaka? Then I will say, let's play this, I don't understand. So says Rabbi Yochanan, v'chi gazlan yesh lo chazaka, I don't understand. This guy is a gazlan. Meaning, this guy Reuven is squatting on the land. I don't understand. Once I come along and you're number one, and make a macha and say, this is my land, Reuven is illegally living here. So what? Because now I'm silent in years four, five, and six, so Reuven should get chazaka on this land. Does a gazlan ever have the ability to go ahead and acquire the land? Take a look at the Rashbam. Dechi gazlan yesh chazaka kolomer. Amai tzarech limchos. I'm reading in the Rashbam. Amai tzarech limchos. Besof kol gimel. Why do I have to object every 3 years? After all, let's play this out. Once I made the macha in year number one, so that should put Reuven on notice, right? So we'll say, so therefore, even if it turns out that sometime later on, I sold Reuven the land, the fact that I have a macha on record should require him to what? To be even more vigilant with safeguarding his shtar, understanding that I already lodged an official macha against his residency here. Umidalon is dar bishtaro yafsid. And if Reuven was not careful with his shtar, then he should lose out. The ikalameimar gazlan hu, right? Because ultimately, again, I could claim that he was a gazlan. So we'll say back to the Gemara. The Rashan is going to give us next piece. The Gemara says gazlan. How do you know that Reuven is a gazlan? In other words, it's possible we'll say that what's happened over time. It's possible that Reuven actually bought the land, and that the fact that he is here now, it's possible that he actually bought it in a bona fide purchase. Elo kigazlan. Rather, it says the Gemara, what it means to say is someone who conducts himself like a thief. Yesh lo chazaka, could he ever establish ultimately a chazaka? To which we'll say, the Gemara is saying over here, Rabbi Yochanan is just bothered by this. Rabbi Yochanan seems to feel that once I've lodged a macha in year number one, I don't understand why I have to go ahead and go through that process every single 3 years. Once I've lodged a macha, I've shifted the burden of responsibility to who? To the squatter. So if it turns out that at the end of the day, he did in fact buy that land at some point in time, then the responsibility is upon whom? Responsibility is upon him to safeguard his shtar. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, go back now to the Rashbam. I'm sorry, we're going back and forth just a little bit. The middle of that Rashbam where we just left off. The following. Once I lodge my macha and you're number one, even if I never repeat that macha, and let's say in the unit of 4, 5, and 6, or in 7, 8, and 9, or 9, 10, whenever it is, once I have my macha on record, then I will say the burden of proof to establish ownership is now upon who? Should be upon Reuven. And my failure to make a subsequent macha in any of the subsequent units of 3 should not automatically vest Reuven with a chazaka on the land. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, therefore Rabbi will say, what does Rava say? Hilchasa sarech limchos besof kol gimel v'gimel. We'll say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, is we paskin that in fact, again, a macha must be lodged every single unit of 3 years. We'll say, that is indeed how we paskin halacha lemaisa. So we'll say, we have a lot of halacha lemaisa that came out today. Let's work backwards. Number one, that a macha must be lodged every unit of 3 years. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Osai, a macha only needs to be made in the Shulchan. I didn't read this to you, but ultimately the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you only need to make a macha in front of 2 witnesses. Right? That's what you paskin. Number three, macha shel b'fanav havi macha, that even a macha made not in the presence of the squatter is a proper macha. And number four, ultimately the proper lashon for macha should include 3 basic components. Number one, it's my land. Number two, you stole it. Number three, I'm taking you to Beis Din. But the Rama says, if for some reason you omitted the Beis Din part, then ultimately, again, the Malcha will still be a proper Malcha. Right, the boss will stop over here. We're going to pick up here tomorrow.
It just sounds weird. It sounds contrived in a way. I'm giving a warning. I don't get to you.